I wish I had their energy. I used to run everywhere too. Now I don't run anywhere. Running is out of the question. Look at Psalm 34. Why don't we stand and read the first 10 verses? I read a verse, then you read a verse, and so on. I think that works out very well. And let's read down through verse 10. I will begin it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together.
I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, and delivereth them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good.
O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. What beautiful passage it is. What comfort and joy it brings to our hearts to read it. I ask You to give me an ability to speak Your Word, to teach Your Word, preach Your Word, and to bring honor and glory to Your name. I pray that You'd bless all that hear. And Lord, touch our hearts. May the Holy Spirit of God be pleased. Forgive us where we fail You and let You down. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you. I've been concentrating on psalms that are messianic, and this is another messianic psalm. If you look at the end of it to verse 10, I'm sorry, 20. Notice what it says. This is the messianic verse that's quoted in the New Testament. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. You understand that in the Passover, they're not supposed to break any of the bones of the lamb. They just eat it, but they don't break the bones. And of course, David is saying this and about himself and his own condition, but it's a prophetic verse. And if you'll turn to John chapter 19, verse 31, you'll see where it is used in the New Testament. John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. How about that? Okay. Now, that is a beautiful passage. And the people that studied the Bible, the people that really had an interest in it, they looked for things like this. And they were looking and applying it in the future. What is this Messiah going to be like? What is this Jesus going to be like? What's he going to do? Well, here's one of the things. And it's shown that this was a fulfillment of Scripture. And it was something that was very valuable to them. And in fact, it's very valuable to me. I love that when I find the quotations out of the Old Testament in the New Testament, that just ensures it for me. I think, how can somebody put things in there all that time ago that will fit? But it does it all over. In fact, quite a bit of the New Testament is quotations out of the Old Testament. And the most quoted book of all is the Psalms. So here we have this, and they definitely applied it. The apostles applied it to the Lord Jesus Christ, so the Scripture would not be broken, which said, a bone of him shall not be broken. Okay. Now then, I'm just going to go back and we're going to take the psalm. I think this is one of the absolute... Of course, I keep saying this every week. You know, it's... I love the psalms. I really do. I read them. I love the New Testament when it has the psalms with it. I like psalms and proverbs, but very few. Most of them will have the New Testament and the psalms. But if I'm blue, or if I'm down, or if I'm stressed, I just take and just start reading. And all of a sudden, I'm going to come up and old David has known my spirit. David has been in my condition. David has overcome it and brought out some glory to God. You want to learn to pray? Read the Psalms. And David, one of the things I think, not only was a greatly talented man, he certainly was, as I've expressed several times, what a talented man. Now, most people don't have all those different gifts that he had. He's just a very unusual man. And he went through things that touch my heart. And I think if you will learn to do that, that you will pop yourself out of your depression quite a few times. You'll come to the place to look at it with a different attitude. And you will think, yes, there is hope. Now, my wife continually calls me an eternal optimist. Well, why wouldn't I be? Hey, first of all, I'm born in America. Hey, even better than that, Texas. I mean, you know, some of you just took you a long time to get here, but you finally made it. But I was born here, see? And United States, and I'm a Christian. Good night. I had Christian parents, I had a Christian family. Good night. I've been blessed. Talk about the blessings that have fallen upon me. Wow. And when I was growing up, I thought my family, everybody had a family like my family. I really did. It didn't dawn on me how many people, how many of the kids that I knew, their family wasn't anywhere near like my family. And my daddy really loved my mother really loved my dad. My mother thought my dad was the smartest thing around. When I was about 30, I got to where I could beat him in checkers because he was 65. And my mother would say, when he was younger, you wouldn't have beat him. Bragging on her husband, you know. I'd ask her a question. She'd say, well, talk to him. Your dad's a smart one. And, hey, he had a beautiful home. They loved each other. They loved us. And, hey, I'm living in America today. Even with those bombings and other things going on, we live better than anybody that has ever lived. Nobody in the history of the world. I'm telling you, if you're on welfare right now and you've been living on welfare, you're still living better than most of the people that are alive today. You really are. And most people that ever lived in the past didn't have the things that we have. I got my 225 horses driving me everywhere I want to go. That's beautiful. And they don't even eat hay. All right, get back. I'm sorry for all that, okay? I just got to brag on what we got every once in a while. Because I think we got it good. Amen. I don't think we should be depressed and stressed and all bent out of shape. I think we ought to be praising God every day. And look what he says here. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now I'm going to take these first three verses and look at it as David's personal decision. Now he had a lot of troubles. He had a lot more troubles than I've ever had. Goodness, his life was a bloody life. His life was on the line over and over and over and over again for years. And he made decisions all the time. Every time he made a decision, he made somebody mad. Might have made somebody glad, but he sure made somebody mad. And that's the way it happens all the time. And he said, you know, I can do a lot of things. He said, I will bless the Lord. How about making a decision like that?
Amen.
Is that a good decision to make? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's a good way to live. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and quit letting the world put you down.
Amen.
Maybe you're not as pretty as the little girl on the magazine cover. You don't want her life.
Amen.
You really do not want her life. They are put up before us as this is the greatest way to be. They're miserable. They're miserable. They're having operations on them all the time to make themselves a little prettier. Good night. Just accept what you got. Okay, if you want to cut the mole off, cut it off. But man, don't go around down. Go around up. And I'll tell you what, you have a lot happier life. Well, here's what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if you're praising God, it's sort of hard to be a complainer. Now, we all complain. I think that is an American fault. I don't know what the rest of the world does. I'm just not sure. But we are complainers. Now, when I was in the military, they said that was a military thing, complaining. And boy, do soldiers complain. Nobody does things right. And I believe that when I was in there. I gave them 3 years, 3 months, and 10 days. And I counted those last 10 very closely. They were extras. You know, we got a lot that we could complain about. Somebody cheated you, probably this week. Somebody gave you the wrong change. Somebody didn't live up to their word. Somebody criticized you. Maybe you felt bad. Even young people get sick. Middle-aged people die. Look at those people going to a parade. They're just going to enjoy a marathon. Going to enjoy a marathon. And good night. Two stupid guys. And let me tell you what. There's no law to prevent that. Make all the laws you want. You're not going to stop that. Not by law. And you can tell all the rest of us what all the hoops we got to go through to buy a gun or to buy ammunition or whatever. It's not going to help it because there are crazy people out there and they're not locked up. Most of the crazy people are running around loose. Maybe some of them in here. How do we know? We've had a few. Talk to Brother Brian. I don't know where Brian is now. I guess he's studying his message. But anyway, boy, we have seen a few crazies in this place. And they are. They're loose. They're running out there. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, David said, I will bless the Lord. Amen. I will. Is that a decision?
Amen.
That is a decision. Sometimes we need to make some decisions about our life. Okay, so I'm not ever going to be rich. I will bless the Lord. Okay, so I'll never be healthy as so-and-so is. I will bless the Lord. Okay, I'm not as pretty, or I'm not as handsome, or I don't have the ability that so-and-so has. I will bless the Lord anyway. That's what he's saying. I will bless the Lord. And how often should I do it? At all times. At all times. What a tremendous statement. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's better than a lot what I hear. I don't hear a whole lot of praise to the Lord. You know that? We do at church.
Right,
do you hear praising the Lord going down the sidewalk?
Right, amen. Right.
How about at work? You hear people praising the Lord?
Right, amen.
You don't?
Right.
How about in your house? Well, there's people on television cussing the Lord,
yeah,
using His name in vain, doing all sorts of things, glorifying the sinful life. Hey, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That right there would change your life. That one verse would literally change your life. You don't believe me? Quit preaching to us.
Amen.
Don't want you preaching to us. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes. Now look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Who am I going to boast? Well, most of us are really good about boasting about us.
Guilty. Amen.
Isn't it amazing how we like to brag on ourselves?
Right.
Man, I got this deal. Nobody else got the deal I got. I got this deal. It was $100 cheaper than anybody else in town. You ever boasted about your daddy? My daddy can whip your daddy? Or maybe that was just in my generation. Mine and Johnny's generation. My daddy can whip your daddy. I saw a bumper sticker that said, "My kid can beat up your honor student." We do a lot of boasting, don't we?
Amen. Right.
And we boast in the wrong things.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I love big cars. I hate it that they cut out a lot of the big cars. But when I look at these little bitty things and I think about wrapping that around me and not having room to move my arms while I'm driving, you know, I got a bigger car than you. My car's more comfortable than yours. I get better gas mileage. No, I pay gas. I don't mind paying the gas. We boast. My gun is bigger and better. My china. Oh, it was brought from someplace. My clothes. You know what they have? They have certain brand names. Huh? My dress costs so much. Can you imagine somebody wanting an old dress from the young princess that died, you know, back there? Diana. And they sell an old dress for $80,000 to $100,000. Nobody's going to wear it. But I own it. I saw on the news the other day a baseball card of Honus Wagner sold for $200,000. It came with gum when I was young. Yeah, we got the baseball cards and it was with gum, and you bought the baseball cards and the gum. You got to chew the gum and you traded the baseball cards. One of them's worth $100,000 to $200,000 today. I should have saved mine. And we brag about, oh, I own this, I own that, I can do this, I can do that. Or my kid. I just, the very first T-ball game of the year, when these little kids are playing their very first game of baseball, and they don't have a pitcher, they set the ball on this little thing, and the kid hits it. Sometimes he just hits the thing underneath it, and the ball dribbles off somewhere. And when he hits it, you got 20-some-odd kids all running every direction. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Now, go back at the end of the year. They know what to do. They're spitting. They're doing all sorts of things, and they're doing like this. It's not near as much fun. That first game just is absolutely wild because they're all running and parents are up there. No. Go over here. You got all these people yelling. My kid hit it further than yours. How about boasting in the Lord? I got a Lord you can boast in.
Amen.
I have a Savior that has never let me down. I've got a God that spoke this world into existence. And according to all the scientists that I see, they write all these things and they say how it would have taken so many million years to do it, and God did it in 7 days. He's a whole lot smarter than they know. But the more they tell me of what they know, I'm thinking how much smarter He is than I thought. You can't outboast Him. Now, you can brag too much on me. You can brag too much on your daddy or your mama. You can brag too much on your kids. And we do. We do. You can't brag too much on God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Whatever you're bragging on, He can do more than what you can think.
Right. Amen.
You have never imagined what God can do. Wow, what a statement. I will make my boast in the Lord. That's pretty good advice. Do your bragging on God. God save your soul, brag on Him. God forgive your sin, brag on Him.
Amen.
God healed you from some disease, brag on Him. You're now easy of the pain that you once had? Brag on Him. Hear a good message? Brag on God. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Do you know what that is? That is not private. That is public. How come? The humble hear. Humble can't hear it when you, in your heart, praising God. No, you got to use the mouth, you got to use the tongue, you got to use a little bit of volume. The humble shall hear. People ought to hear what we believe. People ought to hear our purpose in life. People ought to hear why we're happy. People ought to hear what we're rejoicing in. People ought to hear it. It's going to encourage somebody. How did you get saved? You heard. You heard. Somebody told you something. Somebody got up and preached something. Somebody come by your house and opened the Bible and showed you a few verses of Scripture. You heard. And you know what? What a beautiful thing it is when you can hear. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We ought to boast in the Lord. We ought to brag on Him. We ought to bring people to hear Him. The humble shall hear. And the humble shall be glad. I know I went into a church service. I heard a man preaching. And he was an old man and I was a young man. I was not quite 21. I was still 20. And he was 65 at the time. But that old man could preach. And that old man told some stories. And then he had an evangelist. And wow, this evangelist, he knew what he was doing. He was preaching too. And there were 500 people in that place. They didn't know me. But you know what? It seemed like they did.
Amen.
Wow. How does he know me? I'm sitting back there thinking he must have been talking to my wife. How did he get the information on me? You know, I've had people get mad at me. Thinking I'm telling their story. I didn't even know their story. What was I doing? I was just preaching and using some examples. And they said, well, you just had to know what I've done or this or that or the other. No, I didn't know a thing at all. All I'm doing is preaching, using some examples. And the Holy Spirit said, think about this. Think about this. And you get singled out by God, the humble hear. And are glad. Praise the Lord. Now, here he is. Why don't you magnify the Lord with me? David said, I'm going to do it. Now he's saying, won't you join me? That's a pretty good thing. You know, I'm not telling you to do it, and I don't do it. Why don't we do it together? Why don't all of us make up our mind, we're going to bless the Lord, we're going to do it openly, and let's do it together. Isn't that beautiful? I tell you, it to me is absolutely beautiful. It just touches my heart. It blesses my life. Oh, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's brag. Let's sing praises to His name. Do you like to sing?
Amen.
Yes, I love to sing. I can't sing anymore. And I wish I could. But, most all of my life, I sang and sang loud and strong. And if people weren't singing, I'd get up and make them sing. Let's do it together. Let's do it loud. Let's do it energetic. Let's praise the Lord. Let's be happy. He said, let's do it together. Well, magnify the Lord with me. You know, it's a whole lot more fun if you got somebody doing it with you.
Right.
Isn't it amazing what social creatures we are?
Amen.
I like to have somebody with me. I like to be able to say to somebody, look at that. Do you see that? And they can enjoy the beauty along with me while I'm enjoying the beauty. Or we can enjoy the fellowship or we can talk or whatever. Well, let's magnify the Lord together. One of the reasons why we come to church. One of the reasons why we come to church. We're not loners. We're in a family. Now, I think family is very important. I've tried in my life to keep my family close together by having them all out for dinner, for having a reunion together at a lake somewhere or whatever. And I've done it for years and years and years. And that's a blessing. Now, we don't like everybody like everybody. No. We got our problems, you know. I'm smarter than he is, and he doesn't know that I'm smarter than he is. And, you know, we got problems like that. But no. We love each other. And I'm proud of every one of my kids. They're all different. All raised in the same house. By the same parents. I've been married to that woman 58 years. Been running around with her for 60. Good night. She took her a while to make up her mind. Shut up. No comments in the peanut section. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's do something together. Well, that's what we come here and do. What are we doing today? We're magnifying the Lord. If I'm teaching this right, you're going to say, yes, that I can do.
Amen.
If I'm teaching this right, you're going to say, yes, that would bless me.
Amen.
I'm miserable today. I'm hurting today. I'm disappointed today. But that's true anyway.
Amen.
And while I'm miserable and disappointed, I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. Hey, are you heading to heaven when you die? I am. You know what? We're going to have a good time together. There's some people I don't even like here I'm going to love in heaven. Aren't you that way? I know I is. That's just part of life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. There's His name. Colossians 3:17, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to lift up a denomination. I want to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
You don't want to lift up the denomination. You want to lift up Jesus. Jesus is the one that saved your soul. Jesus is the one that went to the cross for you. Jesus rose from the grave victorious. Jesus entered your heart and made you His son or daughter. Hey, let's magnify His name together. And by the way, the world does not like the name of Jesus. They don't mind a Jesus that's a little baby. They don't mind a Jesus that's not a threat to them. Oh, they love that. They sell a lot of merchandise. It's a commercial thing. But the Jesus of the Bible, the world hates. The very people that promote the little baby Jesus can't stand the Jesus of the Bible when He's grown. Oh, let's magnify His name together. Let's keep it in our minds. My job is to bless the Lord at all times. My job is to let the humble hear it. My job is to magnify with brethren, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He's done for us. Amen?
Amen.
That's just the first three verses. Some of you were looking at it, you might have a problem at the top of it where it says he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Well, don't have a problem. You know, what is it, the king's name, Achish or something like that, that David went and made a fool in front of him to protect his safety. Abimelech is like Pharaoh. You know, everybody that was the ruler was a Pharaoh. He was a king. He was the Pharaoh of Egypt. Well, the same way in this area, Abimelech is like the word Pharaoh. And so he was Abimelech and he was Achish. So don't let that be a problem for you. Now look at verse 4. What is David talking about? He's talking about his own experience. I know some of you give me a hard time about my stories I tell. Say, we've heard you tell that story before. Remember, it is my story. I lived it. I'm not quoting Danny Newman. I'm not quoting Billy Graham. I'm not quoting somebody else. I am telling my own stories, and I'll tell them again. Thank you. I love them. I enjoy them. They're great stories. Don't you love them? Well, get happy. Come on. Get happy. Okay, he made a personal decision. What is his experience? Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a pretty good experience, isn't it? He said, I've got some experience in this. All this blessing the Lord, all this magnifying the Lord, all this doing it together, glorifying His name. He's got some experience. I sought the Lord. I had problems. Man, the king was trying to kill me. Turned my wife against me. And she helped him get away from him at first. And then evidently, well, she was given another man later, so whatever. They had lots of problems. But he said, I sought the Lord down in a cave sometime. He sought the Lord. How about in a battle? How about he sought the Lord while he was running? How about he sought the Lord when he was hungry? Remember when he got hungry? He went by the house of the Lord and took the showbread. Remember when he didn't have a sword? He went by and he took Goliath. He sought the Lord. And he says he heard him. And he delivered him from all my fears. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a worrywart. I think things through at night. One of the reasons why I can't sleep is because I'm always thinking about the bridges I've got to cross tomorrow. Now, the problem is, most of those bridges that I worry about and make decisions about in the night, I never get to cross them.
Right, amen.
They're not there.
Right, amen.
I've worried for nothing because the bridge isn't even there. I don't even have to see it. God has already taken it out of the way. Excuse me. I apologize for my breathing. He said, I sought the Lord. And he delivered me out of all of my fears. Look here, I'm an old man. How did I get to be an old man? God delivered me a whole lot of time. He really did. I can remember driving across a bridge doing 70 miles an hour. And that bridge was covered with ice. I did not know it. I didn't see it. It wasn't ice everywhere else. And all of a sudden, that car went out of my control. I got all my family with me. Well, my two boys. And my wife. And my car sliding across that was a long bridge. Longest bridge here, something like that. We were doing 70 miles an hour, but it seemed like it took an eternity for me to get over that bridge. I'm out of control, and I know it. I'm trying to guide it, you know. And I'm coming up on that big cement embankment right on there at the barrister. And I missed it by inches. Whew. But I wasn't thinking I was going to miss it. We bought the farm. We got that 6-foot plot going, you know. No. Look here, I'm 76 years old. I've had a whole lot of things like that. Really have. I was firing one of my guns one day. And I fired it, and it didn't fire. I said, what in the world? And I took that gun and went up like that. And then it fired. Boom! They are delayed firing sometimes. Don't look at it this way. Might not have been pull the trigger again either because you'd slip over to another place and it would blow your gun up. If you've never had a delayed firing, take my experience and learn from it. I've been delivered from so many things. Do you know half the people that have a heart attack die on their first heart attack? One half. Hey, I got a couple of them. Praise the Lord, I've been delivered. Hey, this last year, I was sick as a dog. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a dog as sick as I was. And something happened to me about October. I don't know exactly what happened, but all of a sudden I had a resurrection. I couldn't walk away from that pulpit. I had to hold it to keep myself up. Hey, I've been delivered. All my fears. And I'm still here. I would like to go to heaven tonight. It would be a wonderful time. Wouldn't you?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like the Lord to come today?
Amen.
Hey, you got plenty of things you want to do, things you haven't got accomplished. Well, I'm through. You understand? I'm just looking back on everything. Evidently, God wants me to speak to somebody else, and that's the reason why I'm still here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Praise the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Now, I think, if you would be honest with me, most of the things you worry about are like the things I worry about. You never meet them.
Amen.
Spend a lot of time worrying about things you're never going to do. Now, that saves you on the things you do have to meet. It's sort of nice to think things through, right? It is a helpful thing to do that. But the thing of it is, most of my worries, most of my fears never come to pass. Never have to face them. And you're the same way. God has delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have? Okay, that's His experience. He says, they looked unto Him. And I'm going to think that's the humble. I'm going to substitute there the humble that hear thereof. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Somebody that heard your experience, somebody that heard your testimony, somebody that heard your praise to God, you're magnifying the name of the Lord, you're telling your experience, saying how I was near death, and look at me, I'm alive again. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not claiming any miracles. I'm just claiming the mercy of the Lord, the long-suffering of the Lord. That's His experience. That's what He's telling you right here. Excuse me. Now look at verse 6. No, excuse me. Yes, verse 6. This poor man cried. Well, now, you think, rich King David? Well, he wasn't always rich King David. He didn't come from too wealthy a family. He was out taking care of the sheep. They didn't have somebody hired to do that. That's what their young boy did. It's like mowing the lawn at my house. I'm not a lawn man. I mowed a lot of lawns growing up. That's how I got my money when I was young. I bought my first gun when I was 12 years old. It cost $12. I got that $12 mowing lawns for a dollar a lawn. And by the way, that's cutting it this way by hand more than cutting it this way by hand more than taking a hatchet and taking care of the sidewalk. You had to do a lot for a dollar in those days. You know what? I forgot where I was. This poor man. Quit laughing at me. Your turn's coming. This poor man cried. David's a poor man. He knows what it is to be a poor man. Now, I'm not that poor anymore. As far as the world's concerned, I'd be a poor man. Yes, that's true. But as far as I'm concerned, shoot, I'm rich as the king. Blessings that God's given me. And I sit here, I never thought I'd even be in the position I'm in right now. Man, try raising five kids. Try keeping them in milk and orange juice on a teacher's salary that puts you in a condition where you can get on welfare. And you're working every day. Yeah, that's the way it was. This poor man cried. He knows what it is to be a poor man. Well, I was raised by poor people. They weren't poor before the Depression, but Boy, the depression just kicked the wind out of them and took everything they had. And then that leaves a mark on you. That leaves an attitude. That leaves the way of thinking. This poor man cried. He was a poor man. David, even though he was a king, he started out as a poor man and he was an outlaw. He lived in caves. He had to run for his life. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Why? God's watch care. God's watch care. The Bible says that these little children, that they have their own angel taking care of them before the Lord. Isn't that something? Did you know there were angels ready at the call of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross of Calvary? All he'd have to say, wipe them out. And he'd have a nice plane with nothing in it. Angels. One angel, one night, went down and slew 185,000 soldiers. Bible says they all woke up dead men. I love that. Yeah, they woke up dead men. One angel. And they're camped about you. You thought about that? They are. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. Now, the angel of the Lord, do you reckon that is the Lord himself? His representation? Well, that's one way it's interpreted. It could have been Michael or Gabriel. It could have been someone that we don't know his name. It could have been a minor angel like one of those in Revelation. Remember, read Revelation, and John bows down before this angel or God. And the guy said, hey, I'm one of your brethren. That's how good you're going to look in heaven. Woo! Man, I'm telling you, you're going to shine. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be perfect. That a guy as spiritual as the Apostle John would think you're God. That's something. He bowed down before him. You don't bow to anybody but God. You don't bow down to angels. You don't bow down to kings and others in authority. No, it's God Almighty that man would bow down to. Got a lot of the Christians in trouble in Rome because they didn't bow down to the king as a god. And that gave them a whole fit of problems. Okay. How about test it and try it? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. How about taste and see? Experience it. Try it. Why don't you try it? Well, I did. Yes, I did. I tried it. And you know, I haven't gotten over my experience. Isn't that wonderful? I tasted. I tried it. Those preachers, I heard a bunch of preachers before I got saved. Why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you ask him to forgive your sins? Why don't you let him come into your life? Why don't you let him change your life? Why don't you let God have his way? Why don't you let him lead? All of these things. If you'll just come, you'll never be sorry. I can say that. I came, and I'm not sorry I came. Oh, I've let the Lord down a whole lot of times. And a few times, I thought he let me down. Yeah, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get what I prayed for. I certainly didn't live the life I thought I was destined for. But you know what? I've tasted. I've tried it. I wouldn't go back for anything. I can't think of anything. You know what? I am not jealous of any handsome old men. He said, you're ugly as homemade soap. Yes, I know that. I understand that. You're bald. Yeah. You're fat. Yeah. You're loud. Yeah. Some people say I'm mean. Yeah. I wouldn't trade places with anybody I know. Something happened to me on the first day of September 1957. I actually made a commitment. I said, I'm going to take Jesus as my Savior. I called upon Him. I confessed my sins. He heard my prayer. In fact, I don't think I ever felt so good. Late at night, in my own home, and God just lifted the load of sin off of me. I figured I was a sinner headed for hell. I didn't. Well, sometimes I'd sort of weigh myself in the balance and think, well, I'm not as bad as them. Yeah, I'm better than those over there. Well, you know, if God takes us 50-50, you know, we got a lot of ideas about God that have nothing to do with what the Bible has to say. No, I was headed for hell, and I knew I was headed for hell. And I knew I could die. I wasn't under the threat of death in any way. But wow. Why don't you call on the Lord? Well, I did. I did. I tasted it. And when I tasted it, wow. Nothing like it. Nothing like it ever in my life. I saw it. All of a sudden, I could see like I never could see before. All of a sudden, I took a long look. You know, I'm always looking right down here, right in front of me. What's going to happen this hour? What's going to happen this week? What's going to happen this month? What's going to happen this year? I took that long look. And I saw heaven. And I saw God. And I saw blessings. Saw eternity. Saw life. Wow. You taste and see. What you need to do is taste it. You need to try it. Why don't you really give God a chance in your life? You know? Lots of times we are so stubborn we want our own way.
Amen.
Your way is the worst thing for you.
Amen.
We choose who we're going to marry. And I'm glad we do that. I sort of like that. I'm sort of glad my daddy didn't pick my wife for me. But you know what? As I understand it, the marriages that were picked like that years and years ago did about as well as we're doing now. I don't think we making our own choices has helped us out a whole lot. Why don't you just let God, just take these verses we've been talking about. Why don't you just let God have His way? He might actually give you a life better than you can imagine. He has me. He has me. A life better than I could have imagined. I'm happy. Yeah, I hurt sometimes. Yeah, I can't do the things I used to do. Yeah, and I don't care. I'm a lazy old man and happy about it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, wow, He's good. Been awful good to me. Well, I didn't quite get through this thing, but it's got so much in it. It's pretty hard to get through it. We'll try next week.